right, let's get started for the day. We are going to continue talking about tasty foods. So we are technically on lesson three of our Tasty Foods Month on how to stop eating the tasty foods, without losing control. Like, we need to be able to eat foods we like in order to lose weight. And so I'm going to start with talking about that. And then I've got one question that was pre-submitted, and then we will go to coaching for anybody who wants help today. All right, let me get my windows pulled up really quick. Need to make sure I've got everything in front of me. Otherwise, I'm going to be a jackass and not have it correct. All right. So if you are newer to NoBS, you may not have this course yet because when you first join NoBS, we don't give you everything because we want you to stay very focused. I'm going to be reading the questions. So if you just kind of want to follow along and learn, this is great. And then when you get past your indoctrination period, when you've finished the NoBS weight loss course and all the things, you get access to all of our little courses. So this month, we're just focusing on how do we stop losing control around foods that taste really good? Because I believe that we don't want to be lifelong dieters. Somebody tell me, if you in the chat, I do not want to be a lifelong dieter. Say hell no. But that's what many of us have been our entire lives. We have been lifelong dieters, and it sucks. And part of the reason why we get stuck being a lifelong dieter is because we often do diets that do not teach us, number one, how do you eat food you like and lose weight? Number two, they don't teach us why do certain foods have more power over us than other diets or other things. And then the third thing is nobody teaches us about the reasons why we tend to overeat in the first place. They don't teach us about our emotional life. They don't teach us that we're eating because we're stressed. We're eating because we're overwhelmed. We're eating because we just don't know any other way to handle those things. So when you come into NoBS, what I want you to do is I want you to set aside and eventually purge and throw away the identity of being a lifelong dieter. And I want you to adopt being a NoBS woman. I've always said this, a NoBS woman is three things. We don't eat shit we don't like. We don't talk shit to ourselves, and we don't take shit from other people. That is the identity that we want to become. Now, like taking shit from other people doesn't mean that you become a bitch. It means you know when you're people pleasing. You know when you're putting your needs dead last for the fear of hurting someone else's feelings, for the fear of disrupting things, whatever that is. And then I think of all the three that is most important is not talking shit to yourself. If you learn how to not talk shit to yourself, I'm going to tell all of you right now, it is easier to eat foods with control, the ones you love. It is easier to not take shit from other people. It is easier to dream. It is easier, like everything in your life gets so much easier when that one thing is solved. Speaking of, for all of you, I am working on the official camp material now. So, for all of you who are coming to camp, whether you will be joining us in person, which there are still seats available. So, if you want them, make sure you go to the website and check it out. It is called Unstoppable Becoming a NoBS Woman. And I started the work today on all of the things we're going to do. And a big component of it, one of the big things is the women who walk out of that camp. You will finally know how to talk differently to yourself. You will be on the path to have the relationship with you you've always needed in order to get the things you want out of life. Because I really believe this. Until I learned how to talk differently to myself, I couldn't lose weight. I couldn't do half the, I couldn't have the relationship I have with my husband. I couldn't have the relationship I have with my mother. There was a thousand things that have been amazing in my life. Now they all come back to the one day when I decided, Corinne, this all rests on your relationship with you. Everything you want in this world, everything you want to have in life, you will not have it if you have a terrible relationship with yourself. And I had to fix it. And I learned how to fix it. And the relationship with you, it all starts with how you talk to yourself. It just does. We are not hardwired to have amazing relationships with ourselves, but we can reprogram ourselves to get there. If someone like me, who had the shittiest relationship of all, I have had depression. I still have bouts of depression. I have had a suicide attempt. I have had abandonment. There's hardly anything I have not gone through. I have had every reason to have a crappy relationship with myself. If I can claw my way out of it, I know I can teach you how to do the same. So let's talk about this week's topic. Why tired you seems to always win. All right. So we have been talking over and over again that the food is not really the problem. And if you do not call the problem out that's actually happening, you will come up with the wrong solutions. So if you think food's the problem, what is the answer? I must cut these foods out, otherwise I won't be able to lose weight. But if the real problem isn't the food, and the real problem is I'm overly tired, I don't have boundaries with myself or other people, I give, 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 and I have a hard time asking for support, well, cutting out tasty foods means you have now decided the last line of defense for me to be taken care of, I've now thrown it in the trash. This is why I tell y'all, it is not a problem that you overeat. It is a signal, not a problem. When you lose control around certain foods, the food is not the problem and you are not the problem. That incident is literally a signal that something's going on because you would not rely on food to solve this problem if you knew how to solve it some other way. And I always use this example. Let's say you have a child. Or maybe you don't even have a child. Maybe you have like a dear friend, a niece or a nephew. Hell, even your cat or your dog. And they come to you and they're like, I'm wore out. I'm give, give, give all day. Let's pretend it's a second grader. This is always the easiest one of all. We have a second grader who comes in and says, Mom, I'm exhausted. It's like 8 o'clock at night. I have gone to school. I tried to make my teacher happy. I tried to make all my friends happy. I didn't even want to play their games. I played their games today. I offered to stay late today at school because I really want my teacher to like me. And I'm afraid she doesn't like me no matter how much I do. So now I'm overschooling, like were y'all overwork? And then I came home and, I really wanted to make sure that you were happy. So I cleaned as much as I could. I did, and I missed lunch today because I wanted to make sure the teacher got to have lunch. So I stayed in the classroom and I watched things for her. And she's wore out and she's just really tired. Now, it's 8 o'clock at night. Most of you would say, oh my gosh. I did not realize you're doing all of this. And you probably start thinking about like all the things that need to change for her. And you would probably tell her, like, let's go to bed. Hey, maybe just even stay home tomorrow. Let's get you something like a day of rest. Like, we would solve the problem. Here's what no woman would do looking at a second grader. I get it. That is some bullshit. I'm gonna open a bottle of wine and we're gonna drink it and we're gonna have I'm gonna get 2 bags of Cheetos. And I don't mean little Cheetos, I mean the big one. We're just gonna, and then we'll just watch some Netflix. Who would make a second, tell that advice to a second grader? Said no one in this chat. Not one person would ever tell a kid to do all that. What's wrong with the kid? They don't know how to set boundaries. They don't understand their worth. They're doing a lot of things for other people, hoping that they'll get praise, probably because she's not praising herself, probably hard on herself all day long, or she wouldn't want to be doing all that stuff. She wouldn't, she'd probably, you'd probably make sure that she ate her lunch and told her bitch ass teacher, hey, you need to watch your own classroom. That's your job. That's not my kid's job. Like, there's a thousand solutions that we would have for this child, and not one of them would end in Cheetos and wine on the couch at night. That is what we're doing to ourselves. We keep blaming the food and taking the food out. That would be like telling the kid that, the problem is you don't have enough Cheetos, you don't have enough wine. You need more of that every night, and that's going to solve all these problems. So stop blaming the food and start looking for what is really going on in my life. Let me get really honest about it. Because the first thing I need all of you to do is to see the patterns. And that's what lesson three is all about. You got to find your patterns because when you are exhausted, I'm going to tell you right now, your thinking brain, it goes quiet. It leaves the room. So for a lot of you to find your patterns, you need to do it on like a Sunday afternoon. You need to do it maybe on a vacation day. You need to do it during a time when you're not exhausted, when you're not rushed. You need to carve out like a 30-minute time to just write about what your patterns are so that you know what the real problems are. Because a lot of you keep blaming yourself and you're blaming the food when you overeat. When you're tired, you don't have logic anymore. I want y'all all to think about this. How many of you, just give me an emoji or a yes inside the chat, if you, when you're tired, you tend to lose your shit more. It's easier for you to snap and say things you don't mean. Sometimes you'll even slam something. Now, how many of you want to be a yeller? How many of you are just like, you know what I want to do? I want to walk around and yell at people and stomp all over everybody's feelings. That's what I would love to do every single day. In fact, the more people's feelings I can hurt, the better. Said no one. So logically, we know that when somebody's irritating us or whatever, just yelling at them isn't going to help. But when we are tired, when we're exhausted, it's so easy to just yell. That is why it's so easy to eat because our logic is no longer with us. So, for a lot of you, if you notice a distinct pattern is, I tend to overeat when I'm really tired. We need to figure out ways to either get you more rest, get you more help. We have to find all the ways that you're leaking energy. Leaking energy happens in a lot of ways. Part of it is like some of you are just late night warriors. You want to stay up late because you don't get to watch TV. You don't get to do like you have to work, 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 work until like the 8 or 9 o'clock hour, but you really need to go to bed. Which means that, yes, you might have to sacrifice a little bit of that joy for the joy of having more control around food, for having the ability to think. For having the ability to make the decisions you would love to make in the moments you need most to make them. Some of you need to quit leaking emotional energy, which comes down to all the places where you ignore your needs. Someone's irritating you and you don't speak up for yourself. You just take it in the ass all the time. Just like today, we were my brother and I went to church, and it was just busy at the 10 o'clock service today. And it was so full, and we always get there late. I don't care how early I get up. For some reason, we always end up like 3 or 4 minutes late. And at our church, being 3 or 4 minutes late means you're sitting in the bleachers. We have church in a gym because they're going to build us a church. So there's like 1,000 kids there, and they are just loud today. I could sense about halfway through church, my nerves were getting frayed. Like it was hard for me to concentrate. All I could hear was kids making noise. And this is, I mean, God love parents. I had one myself. I am not begrudging the parents. I just know me. At this day and age in my life, a lot of little noise really aggravates me. And so when we got to the part where we could leave, I looked at my brother and I said, let's go now. Because normally we'd stay about an extra 5 minutes. And I was like, let's go now because I needed to get out of there. That's one of those little ways where we protect our energy. Another way we leak emotional energy is how we speak to ourselves all day. So many of you end the day tired, not because you're doing extraordinary things all day long. You end the day tired because you're boss bitching yourself all day long. You should do this. You have to do that. You can't do this. Oh my God, you didn't do that good enough. I wonder what Susie thought of you. Like all day long, if you were to eavesdrop on your brain, there's no kudos, there's no cheerleading, there's no gratitude, there's just no positive thoughts about you. You might have a positive thought about somebody else. Like, I just love, like, my child is so great. But how many of the last time that you said, like, I'm so proud of my child, said, you know why they did it? They have a fucking awesome mama. That's why. Thank you very much. We are leaking energy all the time. So some of you are in the throes. I've got a question I'm going to answer in just a minute of a woman who's literally in the throes where it's the kid's little. She's not going to be able to just go to bed or whatever. But sometimes we are leaking emotional energy because we are people pleasing, not setting boundaries, not talking nice to ourselves, ordering and commanding ourselves around all day long like a drill sergeant, and we have high ass impossible standards for ourselves that we know we'll never meet, and yet we're doing zero work when our brain wants to tell us we should be doing this to say, like, no, we really shouldn't. I'm unlearning my perfectionism. I am becoming a woman who doesn't set impossible standards anymore. I am becoming a woman who knows what standards are good for her and what's not. So many of you are just not doing that stuff at all. And you've got to. Because if you ever want to be able to eat the foods you love with control, those foods can no longer be eaten to plug the holes of your life. If they are your lifeline, if they are your only way to cope, if it's the only way you get any happiness, any relief, any of that stuff, it won't be that the food has control over you. It will be, I am choosing to not fix the things in my life that need to be fixed. And I need all of you who think food controls you, who think certain foods have power over you, to tell the truth, because blaming the food keeps you stuck. It will feel like that food has power over you, but when you work with a coach and ask coaches and figure out what's really going on, you will see the food doesn't have power over you. You will see, I haven't solved this, and I'm using food to feel better. And until we start stating that stuff, we can't fix things. So, one of the things that we want to do is we want to look at and understand when I'm tired, when I'm exhausted, I need to figure out if can I fix some of that? Can I figure out why I'm so tired and exhausted? Sometimes the fixes are simpler. I go to bed earlier. I don't work out 6 days a week. I now work out 3 days a week so I can get more sleep 3 other days. I'm going to tell you right now, for all of my little workout divas who don't lose weight at all, but you're so proud you go to the gym 5 and 6 days a week and kick some ass and do some HIIT, whatever it is y'all bitches are doing up in that gym. And you're also tired and eating your face off. You don't have to work out every day. You have to start getting your rest so that food doesn't have to sit there and do the job of giving you a break for you. I work out 4 days a week, sometimes five. Like this week, it was just four because I was extra tired this week. And I go, I do my lift, I do a little walk, and when I say little, I mean 15 minutes. And that's it. That's my official workout. Some weeks when I'm feeling great and I feel like I got plenty of rest, I add a fifth day of strength training. Most days I'll take a walk, but only if I feel like it's going to benefit and add to my life. I will not wear myself out because I know what happens when I'm worn out. My logical brain goes out the window. I fight with my husband, and I don't like fighting with him. I tend to want to eat more. I always notice my cravings are worse when I'm really tired. I don't like setting myself up for cravings. I don't like setting myself up for temptation. I guard my rest really hard. Even if it means some nights I mean, there's plenty of nights I go to bed at 7, 7:30. When I say go to bed, I don't mean lay down in the bed. I mean sleep. I'm rolling over, asses up, pulling the covers over, saying, I'm tired. I'm going on to bed. But I also guard my mental energy. I watch for when I'm being an asshole to Corinne. I watch for when I'm worrying too much. I watch for when I am freaking out over dumbass shit. I also watch for when I have real drama in my life and when I am not being there for myself through it, where I'm just spinning in the drama. There's a difference between spinning in drama and recognizing this is a hard part. I understand what you're going through. Cry if you need to cry. Take care of yourself the way you need to take care of yourself because this part's hard. Most of you just sit there when you're in drama and you text everybody you know, you tell the story 500 times, you work yourself up into a tizzy, you eat over it, and then you sit there and you talk to yourself all day long about how terrible life is. That's called spinning in drama. Like, this was a hard week in my family. My sister-in-law's father got diagnosed with cancer, spent a whole week in the hospital, which meant she had to go up there. I'm aching for Aunt JJ, while also Aunt JJ basically takes care of us, which means Corinne now takes care of us. And I don't mind, but I'm not used to doing everything around the house because Aunt JJ, I pay her to do it. A good friend of mine, her pet suddenly died. My best friend, one of her cats had to be put down. So I spent a day talking to Jane about that. Another friend of mine, her husband ended up breaking his arm in two places and pulled his shoulder out and had to have surgery. I was talking to her about that. It was just like random weird things happening in life this week. And this is one of those weeks where I had my own personal drama, and it's easy to sit and spin in it, or it's very easy to also say, like, you got a lot on you, Corinne. What can you do this week to take better care of yourself and figure out some small ways to do it? Because that is always an option. Bitching and moaning and rolling in it is one option. Figuring out how to talk to yourself and be compassionate and understanding and doing some journaling is also an option too. It's just most people don't want to do that option. Most people are very comfortable in the bitch and moan phase. But the problem is, you're comfortable bitching and moaning. In that comfort zone, you're not doing the uncomfortable stuff, which is how do I help myself? I want more of you for your comfort zone when the world throws shit at you to be the first thing you do is ask, how do I care for myself through this? Instead of your comfort zone being, how do I eat, avoid, bitch, and moan about this? And that just takes practicing it. It means you have to do it on purpose. And guess what? Being good to yourself during hard times, taking care of yourself during hard times and stuff feels hard when you're not used to it. It feels selfish, even though it's not. It feels wrong, even though it's not. That's why it's outside your comfort zone because you haven't learned yet by doing it enough to understand that is not selfish and that is not wrong. Okay, so tired you will always win. We want to notice where in our life am I wearing myself out? Do not fix other people yet. Look for where you have 100% control. What am I not doing yet? Let me fix my holes first. And then if there are conversations I can have, when I fix my holes, it's a lot easier to see if I can get more help, to see if these other people, like I can do all that next. But I always tell y'all, fix thyself first. You are the one person we have total control over. So work on you first. Get your ship in order. Then you can go, just like this week, I had to ask Chris to take out the trash. And JJ takes the trash out every day. Well, because Aunt JJ wasn't here all week. Guess what was happening to the trash? We have four cans in our kitchen, and every one of them was buckling. And I just watched Chris. He just kept putting stuff on top, putting stuff on top. Now, it's obvious the trash needs to be taken out. He knows Aunt JJ's not there. He also knows that when it comes to trash, there ain't but one motherfucker in his family that ever does it outside of JJ, and that would be him. But to Chris, it doesn't bother him when it's buckling. It bothers Corinne. So instead of getting pissed at him, I just knew this week I was going to have to speak up and say, "Hey, babe, it's time for you to take the trash out. Hey, babe, I know you're trying to get more in there. I think you should just take the trash out. It would be easier on me if you did." And I said it nice. Then I had to do the dishes. And while he was fiddle farting around in the kitchen, instead of being mad that he wasn't just helping me unload the dishwasher, I decided I was not going to make him read my mind. Like most of y'all, like, start slamming stuff, doing it on your own, wondering why nobody in the whole house got eyes but you. That is such needless shit we do. I just turned around and looked at him and said, "Hey, do you mind putting the silverware away while I do this? It'll go a lot faster." He's like, "Okay." Sometimes y'all just drive yourselves fucking crazy. I don't ever expect anybody to know anything. My rule is the world is dumb. Dumb, 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 dumb. They're like the dumb suckers. And we're all walking around like a dumb sucker. So when I think everybody's stupid and dumb, then I don't expect them to just know anything. I always expect, "Oh, I know better. So if I want something, I should just say it. I'll make it easy for the dumb dumbs." I'm gonna tell you right now, it is a marvelous way to live. You are rarely let down. You are rarely irritated. You're almost never annoyed because you're no longer thinking they should know this, they should just do this. I've asked a thousand times. It's like, yeah, here comes a thousand and one. As long as it's getting done, I don't give a fuck how many times I gotta ask. Sometimes we just forget this stuff and we just like wearing ourselves out and then we're exhausted and then we're eating Cheetos because so and so is not helping. It's like, well, ask so and so for the 100th time. If the only thing you want is something done, then ask again. That is a lot less energy to not be annoyed and to ask again than it is to eat a bag of Cheetos. Have to do a discovery worksheet, then go to ask coaches, feel bad when you weigh in, all because so and so should have done something that you could have just asked them to do. Talk about the dumb dumb in the room. There's a lot we can clean up, ladies. So we always say, low hanging fruit. You, my friend, are the low hanging fruit. Okay. I'm sweating. I'm going to answer a couple of questions and then we're going to get to coaching. Will the new discovery worksheet stuff be ready in April? Yes, Lisa. I'm going to say yes. The coaches are working on it. This is one of those things. Yesterday, I went through all of the, we are digitizing the discovery worksheets, which means in April, you will be able to go to a page on the website and you will be able to answer some questions. And then it's going to take you to a page that says, "We think this is the problem. So here's our quick advice." And then we're going to give you the exact questions to answer to take to ask coaches. And I highly recommend everybody do that. Please do not just do the quick advice. Answer the fucking questions that we give you and ask coaches, and you let them help you. Because very often we can give you quick advice. It may or may not work because the questions are going to help us figure out if there's any self-sabotage happening. Is there something going on underneath the surface of this that you're not able to find on your own? But when you answer these questions, the coaches will be able to sniff out possibly what's really going on so that you can fix it a whole lot faster. And then we'll give you a couple of resources. So, like some things, we'll say, like, here's our best resource. Listen to this Corinthians 65. Listen to this video. This course is really good for this. So, we think it will be ready in April. We are working so hard on it, and I just want it to be really good. So, I'm like 95% sure it will be ready in April. The only thing that will stop it, and it could be a week later or something like that, is if we are still fine-tuning so that we get you a good first version out there. That would be the only reason it would stop us. I'm in no BS. I've been here 3 months and I haven't done shit with it. I'm stuck in start and stop cycle. How do I break it? I really wanted this to be different, yet here I am in the same place with another perceived failure. First of all, it's not a failure. This is the first thing you have to learn. It's easy to call something a failure. You know what's hard? To see that right now you know exactly what your next step has to be. Your next step really needs to be, if you have not been using Ask Coaches, you should go over to Ask Coaches. This is the crazy thing. The only way to break a cycle is you have to do something. And you have to do something different than what you do in the cycle. So sometimes, let's say, let's just take yours. I'm stuck in a start and stop cycle. So the easiest way to break a start and stop cycle is you start and then you'll stop. That will be a habit. That will not be a failure. That is literally a habit. You have been trained, you've trained yourself over and over again throughout life in lots and lots of ways to start things and stop things, start things and stop things. When this on the stop side, we have to change your relationship with it. So, number one, we have to quit calling it a failure. Otherwise, if every time you call a stop a failure, you feel terrible. And if you feel terrible and you know you start and stop things, then every start gets further and further away from the last stop. Because think about this. Why would you restart? You're just going to set yourself up to fail and feel bad about yourself. So you have created a very dangerous scenario. Oh my God, I don't know if we should start because you know you always stop. And when you stop, you talk to yourself like an ass and you call yourself a failure. Then you feel terrible. Like, think about it. Who signs up for that? No one. So what we do in stop and start cycles is when we treat ourselves terribly on the stop, it's really hard to restart. One, we just have sucky energy. Number two, we're scared because we think it's going to happen again. And we think we're going to put ourselves through all of the abuse again. So that's why it can get to where start and stops end up getting wider and wider and wider. So what we want to do is we want to remind ourselves, I'm not failing. What happens is I start. There is a reason why I stop, and I've not figured out why I stop yet. Right now, I think the reason I stop is because I'm a failure. That is not why you stop. You probably make a mistake and you blow it way out of proportion. You probably, like, let's say you, like, okay, I've listened to Corinne's videos. I'm going to do no BS stuff. I'm going to eat when I'm hungry. I'm going to stop it enough. And you do it for like a week. And then on day eight, you don't stop it enough. And instead of going like, okay, Corinne said this was going to happen, let me take my happy ass on over to the Ask Coaches so I can figure out why sometimes I forget, why sometimes it's harder than other times, why this time I didn't do it. You're like, oh, yeah, I should have been perfect. Wait, I can't even stop it enough. I can't even do things for 8 days. What we do on the inside. And then we're like, I'm so confused. Why do I quit all the time? I have no, like, how do I, like, what's going on here? This is just wild. It ain't wild. It's how you talk to yourself. So what you've got to do is you have to get good at the stops. Now, most of y'all are like, no, we gotta quit stopping. You can't quit stopping until we get good at the stops. You've got to get better at talking to yourself when you stop. You've got to know why you stop. Is it because you're an asshole to yourself? Then you need to be in ask coaches, asking them, how do I quit being an asshole to myself when I make mistakes? I'm gonna have to fix that because from now until I die, I'm gonna make mistakes in eating. If I can be in maintenance damn near 20 years later and still be fucking it up sometimes, I guarantee you better get a better relationship with yourself because you're gonna be living with you until you die. So if the stops are where I stop because I'm an asshole, we know what the problem is. I gotta unlearn being an asshole. I gotta go from asshole to compassionate. I gotta go from asshole to curious. I'm gonna have to listen to my brain, be a jerk to myself, and say, like, this is what Kryn told me would happen. She said I'd be an asshole to myself, so I'm gonna do something different. I'm gonna go to ask coaches and tell them, here's why I think I'm stopping this time. If we stop making every mistake a catastrophe and we start making the mistakes a part of what's going to happen, and they are vital to figuring out what really needs to be solved, we're not anxious. We don't feel like a failure. We don't get worked up. We have no reason to stop. We now continue. We learn. We figure out what things we really do need to fix, and we start fixing them. And then sometimes when you stop, like making stops so dramatic, you'll notice. Maybe you go, like, you get caught up, like, let's say you're normal, you start and then you can go for 2 weeks and then you like mess up. And next thing you know, you don't do shit for 3 weeks. But then after 3 weeks, when you've regained the weight you were originally lost and you start seeing the scale go back up more, you're like, oh, I gotta get serious again. Because now the pain of the weight gain is outweighing the pain of you stopping. When you get to where you make the stopping less painful, you might notice you go off track for 3 days now. And you're like, you know what? I'm not doing the things. Let me restart that. I'm going to get that restarted and I'm going to go to ask coaches. I'm going to figure out when I stopped, what was going on there. Then it becomes 2 days. Eventually, what ends up happening is you are like me. You make a mistake and you just like, it's all right. And you just, next meal, you're just back on track. It's not a catastrophe. You don't think it's horrible news. You think it's just part of the way it is. And you like, sometimes I just overeat. There's nothing dramatic going on, whatever. I just wasn't paying attention. I'm like, oh, that's good to know. I usually do pay attention. Today I was just watching a gripping show. Sometimes I think, oh my gosh, I think last night I ate because I had a really bad day yesterday. And today I feel better, but I feel bad that I overate. So let me figure out yesterday. Why did yesterday feel so bad? Is there anything that I need to do today to soothe myself about yesterday? Is there anything I need to do today to fix anything that happened yesterday so that I don't have to face that near as much in the future? Like, that's where we want to get to. That will help starts and stops. I think my job is causing a joy. No job can cause you to overeat unless your job is one of which where you're strapped to a table every day. If you ever watch Grey's Anatomy, when you go to surgery, they strap your arms down like you're on the damn cross, and then they open your mouth and they're prying food in it. That would make you overeat. Your job cannot make you overeat. Now, I'm so stressed out with my micromanaging boss. So if you have a boss that micromanages you, stress comes from your thoughts about that. They shouldn't be doing this. They're watching my every move. This shouldn't be happening. That's where the overeating is coming from. Joy is overeating because she doesn't know how to work for someone who micromanages her. She doesn't know how to confidently work with someone who micromanages. Because here's the deal. The micromanaging boss is not going to change. That's your job. Your job is now to work for someone who micromanages. Now you have to figure out, how do I show up like an A player for a micromanaging boss? How do I become someone who knows that when a boss micromanages, it's nothing about them. It's probably because it makes the boss feel better. That's their style. That's their comfort zone. Micromanaging is them. Every micromanager does it for a reason. It's literally never because the people are the jackasses. It's always because if I'm micromanaging, I feel safe. I feel like things will get done my way. I think my way is the better way. I don't feel safe unless I know everything that's happening. Now, if you had those thoughts all day long, you wouldn't be stressed the fuck out and eating your face off. But I guarantee Joy's thoughts are not like that. Joy's thoughts are stressful. Joy's thoughts are, I must be fucking up. There must be something wrong with me. They shouldn't be doing this. I bet you have a butt ton of bullshit thoughts that you're just letting run unchecked. And yeah, it's raising the temperature and you're needing to eat over it. So my question to you, Joy, is I don't know how to professionally stand up for myself. I don't think you need to stand up for yourself. Your boss gets to boss you any fucking way they want. Welcome to work, all of you. When you work for an employer, guess what? Your employer gets to do what they want. If you don't like it, if you want to go in there and say, like, hey, boss, like I would never go to my, I'm going to tell you right now, I've worked for people. I would never in my life walk into a manager's office and tell them they were micromanaging me. And I have worked for some dick fucking heads. I worked in the restaurant industry, in corporate. These were the washouts from restaurants, and they couldn't cut it in the field, so they stuck them in corporate, and I had to work for their asses, and they were not nice in the 90s. I ain't got no pity for anybody in 2026. The 90s sucked under men in the restaurant industry. So there's that. Now, if my boss and I had micromanagers and I wanted autonomy, I would be thinking about, like, how does my boss win in this? I'd probably walk into my boss and I'd make an appointment. I'd sit down and say, like, hey, I noticed that you ask me like a lot of questions about what I'm doing and my job. I would love it if you didn't have to do that. Is there any way that I could give you more insight into what I'm doing so that you can feel confident that you can go and do other things? Or is there anything that you work on that I could help you with? That would help you. Like, I just wish that you didn't have to, like, ask me these questions all the time. But if you like that, and that's the way, like, that helps you do your job better, I'm all in. Now, that's how I'd have the conversation. But y'all going in there like, I gotta professionally stand up for myself. Look, I'm gonna be y'all's employee advisor. If you don't like your job, quit. If you can't quit, this is the job you signed up for. It's your job to go in there every day believing in yourself so much that you are going to be the best employee. The people who do not believe in themselves are not the best employees. The best employees are the ones who walk in every day, and their boss could have a bad day every day, and you've got their back. That's always an all-star employee. An all-star employee doesn't need their boss to change for them to be able to do their job. Now, I'm a hardliner on this. I'm in my 50s. I'm just being honest with y'all. It literally is not your job's responsibility to make you feel good. Your employer has one job, to sign your check when you do your part. That is all they're responsible for. They're not there to make you feel good. They're not there to give you a good time. They're not there to do anything. If you want to enjoy your job, talk nicer to yourself about your job. Do not sit there every day and think negative things about you. Assume that when your boss micromanages you, it's because that's for their comfort. It has nothing to do with you doing a bad job. That is what I would do. Now, I know some of y'all probably in HR, and some of y'all disagree with me on this. If your company does that, great. Most of us do not work in a place where we can just march into our boss's office and tell them they're wrong. And yeah, I need you to do it this way so I can be happy. I can't even march into my husband's office and tell him he's wrong and he needs to act this way in order for me to be happy as a wife. Like, it just, I don't even think we think about that. I think we get so used to other people are to blame for how I feel. And when you drop that shit, y'all, when it's nobody makes me feel any way without my consent. So anytime if somebody's being a dick fucking wad to me, it can't bother me unless I think it should. Because here's my approach in life. Let's say you work for a class A dickhead and you can't quit. The last thing I'm going to do is sit in my job every day and take what they say personally. Because dickheads should not dictate how I feel about myself. I know they're an asshole. So why in the hell would I let an asshole's opinion ever be my opinion? I just be like, psh. I know who I am. And if you don't know who you are, then that's the problem. The problem isn't you work for a dickhead. The problem is I don't know who I am. I don't have my back when people are being a dick to me. If somebody's being an asshole to me, I always say, like, Corinne, yeah, that sucks. But the last thing I'm going to do is take on the opinion of people that I do not respect. I don't respect you. The last thing I'm going to do is give you 1 ounce of credit for anything you think about me. Not doing it. And that will save you a lot of heartache. Now you're just annoyed because Bob over here is a dick. Instead of Bob's being a dick, not only am I annoyed, but now my self-worth is taking a hit because I'm relying on Bob the dickhead to somehow make me feel better about myself. No, ma'am. We don't do that in no BS. You're an OBS woman, which means you don't tolerate shit from yourself first and foremost. Before we get to working on somebody else's shit, we got to make sure that we are not being the dickhead. You need to make sure you're not micromanaging yourself. If your boss is micromanaging you, take a look every single day and ask yourself, am I sitting around micromanaging myself? Am I saying things like, I should be doing this, I shouldn't be doing that, I can't do this, I can't do that, I hope this doesn't work, I hope this does work? Like, whatever it is that's going on in your head, make sure you're not doing it first. It's where all your power is. And I just want every no BS woman to feel powerful, not at the effect. Okay. We got one more question. This one came in, and then I'm gonna go ahead and call up a Zoom user. You've got your hand raised. Let me call you up first. This came in from Bridget, and she's a single mom to a toddler, and the only breaks she gets are short in the moments while he's eating in his high chair before he climbs out, and if and when he naps or goes to bed, which I have all the pity in the world for you, because when I was a kid, or when Logan was a kid, he was like that. And Logan did not nap. Oh my God, that child would not nap to save my life. So I tend to get hungry around the times he has something to eat. So find I eat then, but I struggle to have the opportunity to focus on enough because I'm distracted and not sitting. I would not focus on enough when I'm in that situation. If you know you're going to be distracted and you've got a toddler, we don't want to focus on enough. Like, you have plenty of meals in your lifetime where you can focus on enough. That's not one of them. What I would do is I would serve myself what I think is enough and I would just eat it. That's all I would do. I would not be like overfilling my plate or do anything. And then every day when you serve yourself, if you notice when you eat that, it's a little too much, you just keep rationing it back It's just like when, if I have to eat in a meeting or I have to eat, like sometimes I just have to eat in meetings on Tuesdays in particular. I don't have breaks. I don't bring a lot of food. I bring what I know is probably going to be enough because I'm going to be eating and meeting at the same time. It's just like if I am at work and we have a buffet and we're going to have like a lunch and learn or something, I'm not going to put a lot on my plate because I know we're going to be talking through it. So that's how I would navigate that one. Then is it possible that my enough that is, let's see. If I eat when he naps and sleeps, I'm much more likely to eat past enough. I think because I'm making it mixing it with a rest. I've tried to pause and do breathing apps and activity before eating, but still find this quite happens. Bridget, what I would do is I would just serve myself less right now. I would have what I would just call more of like controlled portions. I think it would be easier for you so that you have these natural stops. And then that still is getting to the, that is still meeting the enough criteria. Sometimes we are going to be stopping at enough because we're like we're thinking and we're doing the things. When you are not distracted and when you are not tired, that's when we can practice body signals. But also pay attention to in those moments, this is about how much food I typically eat in those moments. So that when you have times where you really can't focus or you are tired, you're just going to serve yourself what you've learned over time. And that's how I would handle it. All right, Wanda. Zoom user.
I don't know why I wasn't able to change my name until you called me up to a panelist.
That's okay. It doesn't matter. Almost every week I have a Zoom user, so it doesn't matter. So
been a rough couple of
what we
weeks,
doing today?
but this is not why I'm going to just get this as context. So my only and youngest brother was recently diagnosed with cancer of the cervix, I mean, cancer of the appendix a couple of weeks ago, and I found out last week that he was that is stage four, means that it's not just confined to the appendix. So that's not why I want coaching. So Wednesday, I was just happened to be touching this area of my neck, and I felt this hard lump or mass in my neck. And I'm on a GLP-1 Zepbound. And
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that one of the risk factors is that it causes it can cause it has caused thyroid cancer in some animal lab animals. So I called my doctor immediately, and thank God I was able to get an immediate appointment the next morning. And then she told so I got seen the next morning, and she told me that she didn't think there was anything, that she just felt like it was actually my clavicle that's arthritic, and that it's, that's why I have the lumps there. So she did an X-ray to find that out, and so my head was spinning before I actually got in for the visit, because I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to stop the GLP-1, and this probably don't cause cancer. And or but I found out that that's it didn't cause any cancer. But the where I want coaching is that all of the thoughts that came up in my head about the GLP-1, and I was feeling like I was going to have to stop it. That's where I feel like I need help, because I was like, I'm going to not be able to do it on my own, and I need the help from the GLP-1 to be able to do it. And now I'm probably going to have gain probably going to end up gaining my weight back and all of that and everything. So that's where I want some help.
Why do you think you need coaching on that? Don't you think those thoughts are just kind of normal? Look, let me ask you this. All those thoughts came up, and now that we have some perspective, do you think all of those thoughts are true?
No. You
Wait a
told me
minute,
I
you
don't
got
have to
muted.
stop. I don't have to
Somehow you
stop
got
it.
muted.
Oh. I got muted? Mine says,
We can hear you now. Well, no,
hear me
we can
now?
hear you now. Just for a
Okay.
minute, though, you.
She said that I don't have to stop it. She said I can continue taking it.
All right.
But the thoughts came up because, and when I look back, I'll say, okay, I gained back 159 of the 170 pounds I had lost 10, 12 years ago. And from July of 2022 to November of 24, I was told that I had to lose, I had to, well, July of 2022, I was told that I had to lose, like, which would amount to about I was 415, and he said I had to get to 350 in order to have the weight loss surgery. So it took me 2.5 years to do that with no help, you know, other than, you know, the program, and but no med help, no surgery or anything like that. I lost the weight on my own. And then November of 24 to April of 25, I started the GLP-1, and then I stopped it and had the weight loss surgery a couple of weeks later. And then after the weight loss surgery, I wanted to go back on the GLP-1, but my doctor said it was too soon. But then she finally said that we could do it October of 25. So since October of 25 until now, I've been back on the GLP-1. So like, you know, 6 months before the surgery, and I said, let's say 6 months after the surgery, I've been on the GLP-1. And so far, I've released 180 pounds.
Right, but the question though is, you had those thoughts. I'll have to come off my med and I'll regain my weight. Mm-hmm. I can't do it on my own. So those are like the three scary thoughts that came up.
Right.
First question is, don't you think those are normal?
I guess they're normal, but it feels so real.
Yeah, they do feel real. Normal thoughts also feel real.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels really real to me when I want to throat punch someone.
Right.
I mean, yes. It just feels real. Like, yes, I could do it. I don't, but I could. I'm right. Very angry in this moment. I'm super impatient, whatever is going on, right? Just because they're normal doesn't mean they don't feel real.
Okay.
It's just like a...
I was
trying
worried
to think.
That I want. I don't want to feel. I kind of feel like I'm dependent on it, and that's where I don't really like that for myself, to feel like.
Why?
I feel like I have to have the drugs in order to release the. I have about another 100 pounds to release, and I feel like I don't want to have. I feel like I'm kind of dependent on it. That I feel like I can't do it without the GLP-1.
But is that true? I want you to just think about it for a second. Is it true that if you don't have them, you absolutely could not lose the rest of your weight?
No, because I did it, you know, prior to the surgery, but it took me forever, but I did release the weight.
Okay, that's all we need to know, though. Like, your brain, you just need to show your brain that it feels really intense and true, because the reason why it feels so true that the drugs are helping you and whatnot, because they actually are. Right now, you are dependent on them.
Right.
You're not having, like it's not bad that you're dependent on them.
Right.
It's just like when Chris was working, I was dependent upon him because I didn't bring in money yet, you know, whatever. Even when I was bringing in money, I was still dependent on him. He had the insurance stuff. It wasn't a bad thing.
Right.
And I think you're thinking that because you're using the drugs, and maybe you just don't like the word dependent. Maybe it's just there's some room in there to say, I'm not dependent on the drugs, but they are very helpful.
Right.
And I'm using something that's really helpful.
Right. And then I did talk to myself and I was like, I'm doing a lot of work, a lot of work.
Yes,
that the
you
drug
are.
Is doing, you know, so I am, the drug is not totally the end all and be all. I am, you know, I'm one of those people that you said, you know, shouldn't be working out 7 days a week. I work out 7 days a week, you know.
It's fine if you're working out 7 days a week and you enjoy it.
Yeah,
but
I
it's
enjoy
not
it.
Fine to work out 7 days a week and short your sleep and complain that you can't control your eating because you're fucking tired when you're grinding an hour a day in the gym. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
like,
two
I used to work out
to
7 days a week and I enjoyed the shit out of it. I don't enjoy it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I have to drag my sorry ass in for 4 days a week at this point.
I work out every day.
If you love it, that's on you. Like, that
yeah,
is
I
great.
Like it.
So, but this is what I want to tell you. I think we just want to quit saying, because it's not true anymore, I'm dependent on these drugs. You just told me the truth is I'm using these drugs, but I'm doing a hell of a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to the gym. I'm the one who's eating different foods.
Right, meal
I'm the one that's...
Weekend.
Yeah, I'm showing up on coaching calls. Like, the drugs are not doing any of that work.
Right.
They have their own unique, like, thing that they're taking care of. But if you weren't doing the rest of it, Wanda, how much help would those drugs really be? If you were not doing your thought work, you weren't going to the gym, and you still ate like a jerk.
Right. Yeah, because I could, I have in the past overeaten on the over the drugs and the surgery, you know, but I
Yes.
don't do that anymore either.
So I think that, and I just would, if it was me, I would just say, of course, I freaked out. Losing weight is very important to you. And if there's any, like anyone, when weight loss is important to them, it's probably like, 100% of us here in No BS, it's important to us. If something seems like it's going to threaten it, like when something that we care about is being threatened, we are supposed to freak out. Our brain is supposed to like, oh, otherwise we would just let bad things happen to things we care about.
Right.
So we kind of, that part was very normal. It also signaled that it's time for you to have a different thought about your drugs. You noticed in your freak out that when I freak out, it's bringing up a part of me that thinks these drugs are doing everything, and which means I'm not giving myself enough credit for what I'm doing routinely. I'm get like on the inside, it may be going too much in the drug's favor. So my lesson from this is to remind myself, I'm using these drugs, but here's everything I'm doing, and they would not have a snowball's chance in hell at working if I wasn't doing my part. And so if for some reason I don't get to take those drugs, all of this stuff will not be taken away. This stuff still happens. And I want to, like, I'm working on making sure that all this other stuff I'm doing is like who I identify as. This is my habit. This is my joy. This is the new Wanda. So that if we just lose that one thing, we don't lose Wanda. Okay?
Yes, thank you. That makes
You're
it
welcome.
so
Well, I'm
much
glad
better.
nothing's wrong. I was
Yeah.
wondering when you, like, I almost thought, well, maybe she's feeling a
No,
collarbone.
you know, and let me just say one little side thing with it. It's probably been there for a long time, but because I lost so much weight, you know, I didn't feel it before. And now I
Yes.
can feel certain things that wasn't, that would probably been there all along.
I remember when Kathy Hartman, when she lost her weight, when she first saw a collarbone, she was amazed. She'd never seen one on herself. She
Right.
couldn't believe it. And then
Right.
she only saw one side. I think it was her that only saw one side at first. And then she was freaking out that it was like, why do I only have one side? I'm like, give it a minute. The other
Right.
one will come through. You have
Right.
two.
Right. Yeah.
I
That's
promise you.
what I
So.
was freaking out because I didn't feel it on the other side, but you know, I felt it on this side, but it wasn't painful or anything. But my doctor said it's just that my clavicle is arthritic, and that's, you know, that's what's causing the lump.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know. All
Thank you.
right. You're doing great. Just
Thank you.
don't let the drugs take all the credit. They're helpful, but they're not everything. They're just one little piece of this. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Wanda. All right. Kelly. Got hair in my mouth. When we were walking to church, the winds were gusting like 25 miles per hour. And you have to, like, because we get there late, we have to park in the gravel pit, which is, it's about a 5-minute hike uphill to get to church. And the wind was just whipping and my hair was all in my mouth. I was having to hold it like this. It was driving me crazy. All right, Kelly, what are we coaching on?
Hi. Well, I am also on GLP-1 on Zepbound, and I started on October 1st, and I've lost about 20 pounds since then. And so I'm happy with the loss and that. I just because you know there's a lot of information out there about how you should eat, you know, when you're on these drugs, and so I'm trying to be very protein minded when I'm planning and eating, and I feel like I'm doing really well with that. I'm definitely eating more protein than what I have in the past. But I kind of struggle with, you know, because I've been here in No BS since 2019 with the eating between hunger and enough. And then a lot of times on these drugs, you hear that you're not eating enough. And so, I just, you know, any
What
gut.
is the struggle?
Well, I guess just if I truly pay attention to hunger and enough, sometimes I wonder, am I eating enough food? Because I've
So
noticed
how
that
much weight
meals.
are you losing weight to weight? Like this is, so when you are on these drugs, we have to actually watch the scale. Are you losing more than 2 pounds per week?
No. I'm
You're not
with the
eating, you're, and
20.
this is not a problem then.
Okay. I guess
Why do
I'm
you
just
think it's a
letting,
problem is the question.
I guess I'm just hearing information from so many different sources because, you know, in addition to the No BS Facebook groups and that, I'm in some Zepbound groups and, you know.
I'm going to be honest. I'd get out of those groups.
Okay.
I have heard a lot of horror stories from other injectionable groups, but what you have to just think about it. They're So many of those groups are not interested in actually losing for life. They're literally just using the drug and they don't do thought work. They don't talk
Yeah.
about the things we talk about. And you're going to get probably over there a lot of like 30% of the people are going to do things in an unhealthy way,
Yeah.
at least. And the other thing about a lot of the groups is, a lot of people aren't going to their doctor to get this. And I mean, I don't care. I'm not going to get on a soapbox about whether or not you should go to a doctor or if you're doing compound and whatever. But when you don't have a doctor, now they're like getting a lot, you don't know where they're getting their information from. They could be getting it from Instagram,
Yeah.
from someone who's just pushing like stuff and getting a kickback on it. Like you just don't know where your information's coming from. If you will stick with our Facebook group, Christy Larson is your new head of that group.
Yeah, I've
She is
heard
a
that.
pharmacist.
Okay.
She knows this stuff. Like she's got a nutrition background. She is a pharmacist. She has a menopause background. Like she has studied these things. She's a source of truth. And she is a life coach.
Yeah.
If I was going to listen to someone, I'd be like taking it to Christy. I would never take it to a rando Facebook group full of people who are probably listening to anybody other than someone reputable.
Yeah.
But what other confusions do you have? I mean, you're doing protein forward. Hungry
Yeah.
enough works with it unless you're on a dosage that kills hunger, which means you're on too much of a dosage because you're supposed to still be hungry. It's not supposed to kill your appetite.
Yeah.
It's supposed to make you're supposed to get hungry in a manageable way.
Yeah. And I feel like I've been taking it slow. I'm on the 7.5. And I've been on it, like I said, since the beginning of October. And I stayed on the 5 until you know, weight, like they tell you to do, the weight loss had stalled and I was starting to get a lot more urges and, you know, food noise. It wasn't controlling the food noise as much.
So,
So I
what
went.
did you do for the food noise and urges other than up your dosage? What else did you do?
Well, I mean, I'm doing my no BS work, you know,
Okay.
I'm journaling and listening to podcasts and practicing, you know, what I've learned in no BS.
Are you going to ask coaches with what's going on?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, all of you, fucking write this down. If you have been in this program for more than a year and you're journaling and listening to the podcasts and you're still having so much food noise and urges that it's not getting solved, you're not going to journal your way out of it. You need what we call someone's eyes on your prize that has no stake in the game. I'm going to see your problems clear as a bell. Because
Yeah.
I'm not caught up in it emotionally. I'm not afraid. I'm not in disbelief that you can lose weight. I'm not sitting around dragging your diet history along for the ride, like, I'm gonna wait for so long. Now let me journal about my problem. Like, the problem that I think a lot of you get into is, I think it's great that y'all journal. I'm not like poo-pooing that. What I'm saying though, it's a really big, like, there's smoke in the room when. If you have all this food noise and urges come back and you're journaling and you can't take them down through that means you're seeing it through the lens of, I really don't think I can lose weight. I've been overweight a long time. This is just what happens to me. I always do this. Like that journaling is dirty. It doesn't mean it doesn't help. It's like the slow way. It's like we could, you and I, don't you live in Nashville? No, wait, no, you don't.
No,
Where do
I'm in
you live?
California. I'm in
You're in
California.
California. All right. Let's say that I'm coming to California. And now we want to get to Corinne's house. We could walk or we could get on an airplane. Which one do you want to get on? How do you want to get to
The
Nashville?
plane.
Then I'd go to ask coaches, is the airplane?
The
Walking is the journaling at this point. So,
Okay.
but the nice thing about going to ask coaches is they ask you questions, which requires journaling, but they ask you questions that are the questions you'll never ask yourself. They will see things that you say that you're not seeing for you. Won't you do that? I mean, won't you do that while you're also doing this? I just think while you're on the Zep Bound, it is a great opportunity. And while the food noise is going down and like or waving and surging, it's just such a good time to like just take exactly like, because this is the way I believe. Like if you're on Zep Bound and food noise and urges cuts through a drug, we probably have some good work to do. This means something like you really rely on food for something.
Oh, I know I do. It's a coping, when there's emotional stuff going on or and even just boredom. I'm retired, and so that's, I have a lot of time on my hands, and that's something I've been dealing with too, getting involved with more social activities and that. So I'm getting out of the house more.
Wouldn't it be nice to come off this drug and know how to cope with your life instead of the drug and being like, shit, I still don't know how to cope with my life. And now I'm thin. I'm going to have to like pray to the baby Jesus and the golden diaper every morning for 10 hours to make sure I don't regain my weight. Because if you can't cope with your feelings when you're on the drug, you'll have no hope when you're off of them. And so we just want to learn the coping. And this is a great time to do it because if the food is not a distraction, now we can just work on why are things hard for you? What is it about feelings that worry you, scare you, that you feel like I can't just go through my normal feelings? Like we want to figure those things out. Because I think of what a lot of you too also do, this may not be you, but you tell me if this sounds like you. When we do our self-journaling, we're trying to figure out how to feel better. Like, all right, let me journal on this thing that I am feeling bad about so I can feel better. That's like eating to feel better. Journaling sometimes becomes the new ding dong and Cheeto. Because very often, journaling isn't to just figure out how to feel better. Journaling is to just be there for yourself through a hard time, to learn how to feel bad and not need to fix it. Just painful things that happen in life. There are just upsetting things that happen in life. And most of us are always trying to make everything happy again instead of like, I don't know. I don't like what's going on over here. I'm not going to let it eat me alive. And I'm not going to try to be happy, but I'm also not going to eat over it. I'm just going to be like, I'm glad I'm the kind of person that gets pissed about this or upset about that or whatever. Whatever's going on, you know?
Well, life is always going to happen. It never stops.
Never stops. Never stops. And that's part of like my teacher, she teaches a concept called 50-50, where half of life is good and half of life is not. But you have to have the not good part or the good part to look good.
That's
And we're
true.
always trying to not make it 50-50 when it's like, no, it's just like I'm going to love Chris until the day he dies. And then when he dies, I'm going to be destroyed. I signed up for that. When we get a pet, we sign up to love something and mourn it. That is why life is 50-50. So we have to
That's
just remember that in life. That could, the job, we're not always trying to feel better. We want to cut out when we are 70% feeling bad and 30% feeling good. We want to get that back to where it's in balance because sometimes we have unnecessary suffering when we're hard on ourselves. Like if, let's say something happens and you're really hard on yourself, that shouldn't have happened. I fucked it up. Like blah, 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 blah. And you spin out in that, That we want to journal on, not the thing that happened, why you're so hard on yourself about it. So there's room, but that's where coaches can really help.
Yeah, I need to use that more. That's a
Use
good
it. Well, now that you're retired, you can use it all the time. Plenty of time for coaching now.
Yes, definitely.
All right, Kelly.
Okay.
Thank you and
Thank
good luck,
you.
okay? All
Okay,
righty.
thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Kimberly, time are we at? Okay. Let me ask, let's see. I'm 53 and stopped my monthly cycle for about 4 months. I feel it's become harder to lose weight. I keep telling myself I'm not going to use menopause as an excuse. I decided to track my food and protein for 2 weeks. I did really well increasing my protein and reducing my bullshit eating. So it obviously was not menopause if you have bullshit eating going on. The experiment is bringing up my thoughts that menopause might be the cause for not losing my weight and not just an excuse. I'm frustrated. So what you didn't answer for me is when you cut out bullshit eating, 2 weeks of solid tracking and cutting out bullshit eating, what happened on the scale? Come back into the chat or the Q&A. Tell me that because I need to know that. All right. What's up, Kimberly?
So I'm outside walking and I'm done now,
Okay.
but I need you to cut through some bullshit for me.
Okay.
The story I'm telling myself is that I think what really I'm doing is that I'm under eating during the day because I'm having trouble recognizing hunger until I'm yawning, nearly brain dead, and can't, string a sentence together. And then so I'm eating then, but I feel like I'm still overeating at night, and it's probably because, at least I think it's because I'm under eating during the day. But when I think about adding food during the day, that gives me a weird feeling about over consuming.
Okay,
So I
here's the
guess my
bullshit.
question is, I get, yeah, tell me my bullshit,
What,
please.
tell me what your question. Tell me your
Well, I
question, and
guess
I'll
my
tell you
question
bullshit.
was, a better way to figure out hunger and enough. And because I know that in order for me to move forward, you've helped me clean up so many other things. And I feel like this is the last hurdle is that I'm telling myself some story around hunger and enough. And I think I'm afraid at night, I don't know if I'm justifying overeating. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
You're probably, this is usually what happens. If you're an undereater during the day, then at night we have rebound effect. So by the end of the day, we're tired. You've just been doing shit all day. So everybody's brain is that it's just like a phone battery. If you charge it overnight, you're going to wake up in the morning at 100%. I don't care if you have a fabulous day. You still have to think, you still have to shit, you still have to like breathe. Like, I don't care if you watch TV all day. Your battery drains all day long. And for some of us, our battery drains faster during the day, depending on what's going on in our life, what our mind does, how it races, whatever's going on. When you have the night, when you're tired, your excuses are harder to fight because the logical part of your brain has now shut down. So as your battery goes down during the day, the logical brain drains first, and the only thing you've got left is where all excuses live, the habit brain. Well, you're very used to eating, overeating at night. Period. Your brain is very used to now, it's formed a habit of like, if you're too tired and you're extra hungry, I need to overeat. You also have a biological response that coincides with this. So not only is my brain tired, so I can't rely on logic to make my decisions for me. I also have a biological response going on. If you underfeed the body during the day, at night, the body is not thinking, wait, you want to lose weight, right? I mean, you have a few extra pounds. Let me think about this. That is not what the body does. The body says, I didn't get enough energy today. Bitch, gotta go again tomorrow. I need to eat up now so that we can repeat this nasty habit we've got going on. Undereat today, overeat at night. All right. So the fix is super simple. You have to eat more during the day. End of story, period. If you are someone who has a job or whatever's going on during the day where you are going to miss your hunger signals because of anxiety, stress,
Stress.
busyness, whatever.
Busy.
Fucking time eat. Y'all, I say this in the videos. I have taught this in 365. I have taught this in the Hunger Course. Like every course, I've talked about this. And yet, y'all hang on to the one lesson on the day one where I say, we're going to ask, are we hungry? And then it's almost like y'all just go, I don't know, Helen Keller on the rest of it. I'm like, I have said this over and over and over again. So my question to you is, why are you not just eating? You know the answer is I got to eat more during the day. Why are we not just doing it?
I think it's just trying to overall have, it's probably just diet mentality, trying to have a deficit for the day, you know, of muscling through it, I think is really what it is.
What does that
You know,
mean? Tell me what muscling through.
trying to, you know, because I work out every day and then I'm a nurse practitioner, so I've got patients all day, shit I gotta handle. And then
Okay.
the life is
So you
sucked out of me. So
definitely
you're
shouldn't
right.
be relying on just hunger.
Right.
If you like, I rely on hunger on Thursdays and Fridays.
Okay.
Thursdays and Fridays, guess what Corinne doesn't have? Any meetings.
Okay.
I have a laptop. I wake up first thing in the morning. I work out now first thing in the morning. But when I start, I am literally. Have you ever seen that movie Throw Mama from the Train?
I know what you're
Oh my
talking
God.
about.
There is a line in there. I say that my mother, if she's listening to this call, she's gonna laugh her ass off. There is a line in Throw Mama from the Train, and I say it all the time, where the mama goes, "You just sit there all day long typing like a fat little pigeon." And so I tell Chris all the time, "Well, I got a lot done today. I was just typing like the fat little pigeon all day long."
Right.
That's all I do.
That's
I
exactly
do.
what I do all day long.
All right, so, but on Thursdays and Fridays, I can listen for hunger because I don't have distraction. I just have my laptop and me, and I get in flow. And I'm like, when I come out of flow, I go eat because I actually can eat. I don't have anybody depend on me. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, it is balls to the wall meetings from the moment we say go. I am either in a meeting or I'm teaching a class. That's all I do on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I cannot rely on hunger because I won't eat. I will
Right.
miss every signal because I don't have time. Or if I do have time, like I'll have like a 30-minute break. The last thing I think about is hunger because I'm so adrenaline high from what I've been doing and I've got another swath coming. My
Right.
adrenaline drop for hunger, it masks it.
It does. Well, and what
So
made me
you
realize I
have to
was doing
plan
it
to eat.
is my medical assistant said, "Is something wrong with you? You're not acting right." And I realized I had not eaten, and it was, you know, it was probably 11:30 and had not eaten anything. And I had
Yeah.
worked out. I mean, I just, so obviously I blew way past it. I've had an episode of my sugar getting so low, and I'm not diabetic, but my sugar getting so low that I had altered mental. My husband, you know, wanted to take me to the hospital. I was so altered, and all it took was food. And I did not realize that I had not eaten or had not, or that I was even hungry. So I
This is why you're
white knuckle
overeating at
it.
night. Your
Right.
body knows if I don't eat a lot at night, she's going to not eat during the day. It's overcompensating.
Okay. Because I do this, and I feel like I do it. I feel like I handle myself better on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because I work Monday through Thursday. And I feel
Yeah.
like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm able to do this better. And it's probably exactly what you said is I'm not under eating. You know, I'm eating a breakfast every day, and
Right.
I'm
I
not
think you
limiting
just need,
myself.
you're probably going to have to just plan to eat and just eat. And that's it. I would just like, literally, this is not going against what I teach. Your body,
It feels like it. It feels like it.
tell me why it's against it.
It feels like it is because I guess because I'm not feeling like the tummy rumbles. I've ignored them so long that I'm to the point of that brain dead, yawning, can't keep a
But
sentence
all of
together.
that is also your body. But this is the
Yeah.
thing. You're going exactly against what I teach. You just
I've been
literally
doing it
told
for a
me.
year.
No, like
Every time
literally,
I
you
come on here, you
stopped
tell me that, yeah.
listening to your body and you started listening to your work schedule.
Okay.
Your body at night when it overeats is saying you're doing it wrong all day. I
Yeah.
have to make up for your shenanigans all day long. Your
Right.
body is saying you need to eat breakfast and lunch. You need to figure this out. Otherwise, I have to overeat at night to pay the price of what the turmoil and trauma you put me under all day long by not eating.
Okay.
I'm telling you to listen to your body. Your body is screaming. You're fucking with us,
I just
Kimberly.
can't hear it during the day, though. That's the
No,
thing.
it's, but during the day, your body is screaming. It's, you can't hear it because of the work. So we can't rely on you. Like, your work's not going to change. Your body is now saying, the only time you listen to me is at night. And I'm telling you, your body has been saying for a long time, I need you to eat during the day. Because you won't hear subtle signals during the day when the, like, you're like saying, I don't understand. My work is like a level 10 in noise, and my body's over here whispering in the corner. What's wrong with me? I don't know why I can't hear it. I'm doing it wrong. Your body doesn't get, like, your body says, in order for me to be heard, I have to now raise to a level 10, which means I have to get too hungry to cut through the noise. Your day
Right.
is busy. That'd be like saying if you're at a concert and it's like Journey and they're just getting it and it's Don't Stop Believing and everybody in the arena is, you know, don't stop believing. And your friends over here whispering and you're just like, I don't understand why I can't hear you. I don't know what's wrong. Is something wrong with my ears? I mean, I can see that you're talking to me, but I just can't hear a word. You would never be mystified. Your body all day long is sitting at the Journey concert, right at the Don't Stop Believing moment, and trying to say,
Right,
so
right.
your body does talk to you. It's just during those times, you're not going to hear it. And you need to remember, this is not going against my body. I have found in my patterns that Monday through Thursday, when I'm at work, I won't be able to hear it. So I will just need to eat so that my body doesn't have to yell at me at night and make me overeat so that we can just rinse and repeat and do it again.
Okay.
Because it's obviously working fine because on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday,
I'll do
I seem
much better.
okay. When I'm not sitting there at the concert, now I'm in the car just driving with the, you know, the radio barely on. Oh, I can hear it.
Well, and one thing my husband noticed is when I come home from work, I'm walking in the door and I'm just yawning, 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 which is my
Yes.
classic, I'm way, way, way past hungry. And so,
Yes.
of course, you're right on this. It's just, so what's the thought that I'm going to have when I'm going to eat my boiled egg or whatever I have at 10 o'clock? That,
In the morning?
like, no, I'm going to have my breakfast or
Yeah.
whatever I'm going to have. And then if I have a 10 o'clock snack or whatever, however I'm
Yeah.
going to do this,
Yeah.
am you're telling me just to try it and say, this is what I'm doing, and that it's okay that I'm not, in my mind, hungry at that time?
I don't know why you keep trying to argue with me that you're not hungry. My
I don't know
God,
either. I don't
your
either.
body and me are like shaking you, saying you are hungry. And you're like, now, Corinne, when I try to eat at like 10 o'clock in the morning and I'm not hungry, you just need to tell yourself, I probably am hungry. I just can't hear it because I'm busy.
Okay.
This is not complicated. We're just going
Yes,
to eat.
it is. Okay.
If your brain
Okay.
says anything, you just need to say, you know what? I think I'm wrong about this. I actually got on a consult. I mean, I got on a call with the woman who wrote the program, and she said to do it this way. I don't know why I'm arguing with her that this is wrong. How about you
Well,
tell
and
him that?
I tried to do, change up what I was eating, thinking that that was the problem, that I was, under eating certain foods, and that I feel worse this week. And I did overeat over the weekend, which was unusual for me, because it's normally my dinner meal during the week. That's not my weekends that are a problem
Yeah. Just give
so
it a try.
much.
Like, you need to give it a try for a month, though, because this is what
Okay.
usually happens when we do this. You will start eating during the day, but we forget that your brain, you're still going to come home tired. It's not like if you eat breakfast, a snack, and lunch, But somehow now you're going to come home just like you just drank, 10, a 6 pack of Celsius. That's not going to happen. It's not like you're still going to come home tired. Now, you won't come home physically ravaged from hunger anymore. But your brain has said when you're tired, you should eat after work and you should eat a lot. That's the message your brain put into habit, not all this stuff. We just talked about what's really happening. You're going to come home, you're going to be tired, and you're still going to want to eat like Monday through Thursday, Kimberly, because that's the habit. Now, that's where you have to say, self, I've given myself plenty of food today. I'm going to want to eat like I have been eating. I'm going to pay attention if that happens. And if it does, now I've got to do the hard part of breaking this habit, which means I tell myself, I know I've given you enough food today. We don't need to overeat. It's going to feel different, but this is not an emergency, and this isn't bad, and this isn't deprivation, and this isn't restriction. This is literally, it's different than what I'm used to doing at night now.
Okay.
Because a lot of times it will, like you're like, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to be the fortune teller. I swear, I wish I could sometimes turn my fortune telling on for the lottery. It'd be a whole different place. But usually what happens is now your brain's going to be like, this isn't fair. I had a hard day. I deserve it. Like your brain's going to want to
Right.
say things because it's like, but we always eat a lot at night. Because it will take usually 2 to 3 weeks of eating for your brain to relax and say, like, oh, I don't need to demand for food anymore. It looks like she doesn't undereat during the day anymore. It takes time for your brain to catch up. And so that's where you just have to say, no, we're not being deprived. No, this isn't unfair. Like, I know you think it is, but what's really happening is this is different. I'm doing different things now, and different always feels odd. Different always triggers weird thoughts, error thoughts, and stuff. This is not a bad thing that's happening because I'm not eating like I always do at night anymore. This is a different thing that's happening. And different feels uncomfortable until different is now the way, what I'm used
Right.
to again, okay?
Right. Well, and that's true because when one of the times you coached me, I was having trouble leaving food at a restaurant, and I don't have that anymore. That's gone. And I use my fancy napkins. You talked me out of that, and my fancy candles. I've been using those. So it's just been a baby steps to get me
Okay.
an undercover under figuring all this out.
Yep. I think this is going to help you a lot. I think you're going to feel a lot better. You won't come home so wore out. Like I said, you're not going to come home with tons of energy, but you shouldn't come home like I know when I haven't ate enough during the day. I've like had a really busy day. If I have to miss meals and whatnot, I used to like I make it a point to eat first thing in the morning now. I don't care if I'm hungry or not. I'd rather eat than to miss some meals on a busy day and end the
Okay.
day at like 3:30 or 4, and that's the first time I'm eating.
And I'm
Because
insane,
now
right?
I've like traumatized my body.
Right. And that is exactly what I'm doing. I'm thinking, okay, well, because if I work out, I've had coffee and I don't feel like I need to eat, so I won't. And then, 11:30, I will eat something. And then because I've not eaten anything until 11:30, by 1:30, I'm thinking, okay, now I feel hungry again. Well, you shouldn't be hungry now. You just ate 2 hours ago. But the real point was is I should have eaten something 5 hours ago.
Right. I should be
I get it.
hungry
I
because
get
I'm
it.
already behind. Yeah.
Right. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Like I'm hungry right now. I'm just gonna be real honest with everybody. I had breakfast this morning, but I had breakfast early this morning.
Right.
And it's 1:30. And I'm like, I'm hungry. And I'm like, I should be.
Okay.
And I'm going to eat, even though what by the time I eat, it'll be 2 o'clock. And it's like, I'm gonna eat dinner at 4:30 because that's when I eat dinner.
Okay. See, that's the other thing is,
I tell myself I shouldn't eat dinner right now.
in the
It's like, no,
afternoon,
wait, this is Sundays.
I'll sit and I'll think, don't eat now because you're going to go home and eat dinner in 2 hours. And that's really not smart. Because that's when
Now,
I
we're going to eat
start getting the
now
brain dead
so
and
that
can't
I
keep a
would just
train of
say, like,
thought.
I'm going to eat now so that when I walk in the door when I go home, I'm not brain dead. I'm going to eat
Yeah.
now so that when I walk in the door at home, can eat a sensible dinner and not lose my mind. I'm
Okay.
going to eat now so my logical brain can be intact and not trying to eat when my logical brain is now, like, left the room because, your logical brain cannot operate without fuel. It needs sleep, it needs water, it needs food. Those
And
are the three things that
I get
keep the
the
logical
water.
brain going.
The water and the sleep are fine. It's the, I just, I don't know. Okay, that's fine. I can do it.
All right.
Everything else you've told me has worked, so I just got to do what you said.
All right, Kimberly. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you. Thank
All
you.
right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. So, Green, coming back from the question about menopause, I didn't lose weight, but I didn't gain. So, that's really good to know that what you tracked, I did notice my energy went down. So, I increased my carbs. Good. My brain is constantly questioning if I'm doing this right for the season of life that I'm in. My logical brain says it's possible to lose weight during menopause, but in reality, I'm finding it's not as easy as it used to be. I'm going to tell you right now, it is really hard to blame menopause for weight loss stalls when we are still overeating or emotionally eating. I always tell people, we do not blame menopause for weight if we are emotionally eating. We need to fix the emotional eating first. If we're still overeating, we do not blame the menopause because we don't know if it's our hormones. If we are ingesting too much food. In fact, we know it ain't the hormones. Ingesting too much food, any period of life will always make you gain weight. So, what I would do is I would do it a couple more weeks of what you're doing. And I would tell my, like, a couple of things that you said is I'm constantly questioning if I'm doing it right for this season of life. There is a lot of information that goes around, slung around on the internet about what you should and shouldn't be doing and blah, 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 blah. Stop reading it. Dead stop. 100%. A lot of the information that's getting thrown around on the internet right now is coming from people who want to make money off of you. They sell something. I really believe that. You remember when I've told y'all when it comes to diet books, like, everybody had a different diet. There's always a new diet coming out. And on the back end of their diets was a program, supplements, cookbooks, and all these things. So they would like remove these food groups, they'd villainize these things, and blah, 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 blah. And it basically just left all of us women in a wake of diet mentality. We didn't know what we should and shouldn't eat. The same thing is happening with menopause right now. There is a lot of grifters out there, a lot. They are trying to sell you all kinds of stuff. I'm telling you right now that for centuries, well, let's say 100 years, we didn't have all of that going on. And a lot of women lost weight in menopause. I have been running this business since 2007. Up until about a year ago, when all this menopause shit got fantabulous with, take this, don't do this, whatever, books being sold and stuff. Plenty of women in no BS lost all kinds of weight without having to do a lot of stupid shit. Now, let me tell you what I do know about menopause. It does change our body. We are more tired. Our hormones are changing. I am not dispelling any of that. But the real thing we have to remember is that I do not want a woman taking peptides, taking supplements, and doing like cutting things out of her diet because some guru of menopause said to do it, and you still eat every time you're sad, every time you have a bad day. You can't, nothing can go wrong in your life without food being the answer. That is no way to live. We have got to keep our eye on the prize and no BS. A great life is the eye on the prize. I don't want some woman losing weight and I guess taking supplements and shit but still talk down to herself all day long, still people please because she doesn't believe that anybody truly loves her. And the only way that she can get love is to overfunction in her life, wearing herself out. I don't want women to lose weight and still they're always on the bottom of their to-do list because they feel selfish or guilty for moving themselves up to just be equal to the people that they love. That is not a life. Not a life at all. And that is just three instances of the way that we eat and cope and deal. So many of you live on edge all of your life. You don't even know how to feel safe in your body, in your job, in your relationships, in the world. That is no way to live. It is no way to live to catastrophize every little thing, to worry endlessly, and until something happens, you worry. That is no way to live. And if you're doing all that and you eat over it, there's no testosterone, progesterone. There's no peptide. There's no cutting out the carbs. Whatever's going on these days in the diet land, none of that fixes that shit. None of it. Do women sleep worse in menopause? Absolutely. I've had to really work on my sleep to get my sleep in check. I've had to change how I sleep. I get hot so easy now. I have to have, cooling pillows and cooling sheets and a cooling mat and all this other stuff. Yes, all of that happens. All of that is very real for women. Some of us, when we go through menopause, we have, like, I know for me, I've had to go back on antidepressant meds. As my hormones changed and stuff, I noticed that depression was coming back. It just, something in my body stopped producing. And I just needed to fix that. So I don't disagree that things are happening to us in perimenopause and menopause. But what I do disagree with is it's really hard to know if menopause and perimenopause is causing the inability to lose weight if we still use food to get through life. So keep your tracking going on for a little bit longer. It may take more than 2 weeks. Still eat, like, now that you're tracking, really pay attention. Do I feel like I'm actually eating too enough? Do I feel like I'm waiting for hunger? Is there any wiggle room there? Am I getting my sleep? Am I getting my water? Am I managing my stress well? All of those things are factors that apply to weight loss. If all of those things, if we've got all that in check and you're still not losing weight, before I'd blame menopause, the next thing I would do is be like, all right, let me look at what I'm actually eating. Now, I am not saying you have to get rid of all the things you love to eat, but if you are eating when you're hungry and stopping at enough, and your diet is McDonald's for breakfast, KFC for lunch, and Pizza Hut for dinner. Your snacks comprise of, a little cup of ice cream and things like that. We may want to try injecting into the mix a little bit more healthier foods and see what happens then. And then if that's all in check and you're like, you know what, I feel like I'm eating on balance, I would call it pretty healthy. And I also have things I like. I don't think I'm emotionally eating. I'm like tracking, I'm looking, I'm listening to my body, I'm getting my sleep, I'm getting my water, I'm doing the things, I'm checking the boxes. And you go like a month and the scale doesn't go down at all. Then I'd go to my doctor and I'd find somebody who specializes in menopause and I'd have everything checked. That's when I would do that. And that's my little soapbox. Now, also, if y'all tag Christy Larson, who's our newest coach, if you go to the Facebook group and you want help, like you have questions, she knows a lot about menopause. She has studied this. I think she got a certification. I don't know the exact name and stuff. She also has some some nutrition background where she went and studied that on top of everything else that she does. You can feel free to ask her questions over there too. But I don't like to blame anything for my ability to lose, maintain, or whatever's going on with my weight, until I know 100% I'm doing my part. And my part is, am I hungry and am I honoring that? And there's lots of ways to honor it, as we saw today. There's honoring it by paying attention to your body. There's honoring it by, like, I know that this is during a period of my day where I'm going to miss my signals. My life is really loud. It's a level 10. My hunger signals are supposed to be somewhere between a 2 and a 3. I might miss them through the busy and the chaos of my daytime life. So now I'm going to practice, I'm going to plan my meals and I'm going to make sure I get my nutrition met. We're going to stop at enough, which stopping at enough is one of the ways that we also watch for how are we coping with our emotional life? How are we coping with our life? Is this the only time we get a break? And that's why we keep eating. Is this the way that we relax? We don't know how to relax without it. Is this the way that we comfort ourselves when the world is not behaving the way we would like and we don't know of any way else to do it? Water, sleep, and then don't forget the biggest one, which is the self-care. Meeting your basic human needs and planning. This is the other one that's really important. I always forget to talk about planning, but planning. But I want you to plan, like for all of you, if you're struggling, plan your food so that you can see, am I meeting nutritional needs too? Am I meeting my daily, like, if Kimberly's planning her food every day, she should know that I need to plan a breakfast and a lunch. And if I'm routinely not eating them because I think I'm not hungry, but it's really not that I'm not hungry, it's that I can't hear my hunger because of my day. She needs to eat those meals. But then self-care is a basic human need. You've got to figure out how to take care of you. That does not mean manicures, pedicures, and bubble baths. That's how am I speaking to myself? How am I talking to myself? Do I cut myself slack or do I hold myself to too high of standards? Do I sometimes ask for help? Am I learning how to ask for help, even if it feels guilty, bad, or selfish? That is all part of your basic human needs. And it's the part I think many of us miss. Okay, that is it for the day. All of you, have a wonderful, wonderful week. I will see you next week for more coaching. Y'all bring some coaching stuff. Don't leave me hanging over here. Sometimes I wonder, like, why don't more people raise their hands? More of you should be raising your hands. I don't bite. All right, bye y'all.